Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nida Daf Mem Hei. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 4 lines from the top of Daf Mem Hei. Before we begin the Gemara, we have a topic heading in the outside margin that reads, under the Nosei heading, Ma Kore Le Besulim, what happens to the Besulim? This is a girl who we would explain or translate as a virgin. Al Yidei Bio, what happens to the virginity of the girl through intimacy, B'pochos Mibas Gimel, if she experiences an act of intimacy under 3 years of age? The Gemara will present 2 possibilities. One is Mezal Azli Biosu, that the virginity, which is a membrane of skin that exists in that part of a girl's anatomy, that it's ripped away, but it grows back. That's one possibility. Or the second possibility is it tzudi hu delo mitzudi. It somehow resists being broken. Could be that it's very flexible at that point, and it simply remains there until when she reaches 3 years of age. At that point, when intimacy is conducted, it rips away and remains permanently gone. As we go on in the Gemara, we will notice the use of diamonds. These are used to highlight the expression nafka mina, bein shnei hagishois lenosei hanal. That's what we have noted under our Mivneh heading in the margin, the differences between these two approaches. What type of practical difference is there between these two suggested approaches? So now we turn to the Gemara, 4 lines from the top, in a quote from the Mishnah, Pochos Mikan, intimacy with a girl under 3 years of age, Kenoisin Etzba Ba'ayin. It's like putting one's finger in one's eye. And that would indicate that it keeps tearing, it remains there. Ibayalaho, the Gemara asks, Hani Besulin, Mezal Azli Viosu, is it that they go away and come back during intimacy that is conducted under 3 years of age? Oy Dilmo, it tzudi hu delo mit tzudi ad laachar sholosh. Or is it that they are not removed through intimacy? They remain there until after 3 years of age. Lemai nafka mina. The Gemara asks, what practical difference would there be in the analysis? Kagon shabo besoch gimel umotzodam. An example would be where relations took place with a girl under 3 years of age, and there was a blood flow experience. Uboal liachar shalosh veloi motzodam. And then there was a subsequent intimacy after 3 years of age, and there was no blood seen. E amris mezal azli viosu. If you say that the nature of the virginity is that it goes away and comes back, so sheus hu de lo havia lehu, there simply wasn't time for it to grow back in this particular example, and that's why when there was a subsequent intimacy after 3 years, so he didn't see any blood, because the virginity should have grown back, but it just didn't have enough time to do that. Had it in fact grown back and he then conducted the intimacy, there would have been blood from that tearing of the membrane. Elo, I amris itzudi hu delo mitzudi ad la'achar shalosh. If, however, you say that intimacy under 3 years of age does not remove the virginity, it remains there. And in our case, we see that he had relations after 3 years and there was no blood flow. So, ho achir bo oleho, you'll have to conclude that someone else other than the husband of this child, someone else had relations with her, and that is what it was at that point, that earlier point where someone else had the relations, that there was in fact the expected blood flow. And as a result of this conclusion, we would then say she is classified as a zoino. This is a married woman having illicit relations, and she would then become posel from the kuna. She would become unfit to ever marry into the kahuna. My. So the question is raised, how do we look at the virginity under 3 years of age? Is it something that is ripped away and grows back, or it's something that remains in place until after 3 years? Maskif lo Rav Chiyo braid Rav Ika. Rav Chiyo questions our analysis and says, Uman leimolon demaka shebesoch sholosh eino choseres la'alter. Who is to say that the injury rendered under 3 years of age doesn't grow back immediately? Shema choseres la'alter. Maybe it does grow back immediately. Veho, and that which she didn't see any blood, achir bo oleho. So that even according to the first analysis that we said above, the first dashed underlined phrase, a few lines up, you can see where the Gemara had suggested that mezel azli v'osu, and then the Gemara said sheus udelo havya. Sheus means a passage of time. There wasn't sufficient time, but who is to say that the growback requires passage of time? It could be that the growback is in fact immediate, and that when there was that subsequent or the post 3-year-old intimacy and there was no blood, so even according to that side of the analysis, one should conclude that someone else had relations. So that this point of difference really isn't conclusive. So we don't really have a difference between these two methods of analysis. Elo nafgamina, the difference between the first way of mezel azli v'osu versus itzidu do mitzidi, kagon sheboal besoch shalosh u motzo dam, ubal liachar shalosh u motzo dam. Here, notice we've dot underlined the expression umotza. This is the point of difference between the first lashon, the first attempt, where we also dot underlined below motza, below the negation. Here, he had relations with her under 3 and there was a blood flow, and he had again relations with her after 3 and there was a blood flow. E amris mezel azli v'osu. If you say that the nature of the virginity under 3 is such that it goes away, it's broken, so to speak, but it grows back. Hai dam besulim hu. Then the blood that he is seeing after the intimacy after 3 years of age is the blood of virginity and not something that is metame. Elo iamris itzidi hu delo mitzidi. If, however, you say that blood, that the virginity simply remains in place when intimacy takes place under 3 years of age. Elo, let's read that phrase again. Itzidi hu delo mitzidi elo ad la'achar shalosh, that it remains in place until after 3 years of age. Hai dam, the blood that he saw before 3 years of age, nido hu, that was blood of nidus, which would make her into a woman that's tamea, a girl. She would be a girl, and she is tamea. So that the point of difference between these two methods of analysis is blood that is seen during the intimacy before 3 years of age. according to the Mazel Asli approach, that dam would have been dam besulim, because it does get ripped away, but it grows back. So in the ripping away, there was a blood flow. According to the second approach of Itzidi Huzolomitzidi, so the blood flow in the pre-3-year-old intimacy should not have resulted in a virginity originated blood flow, but rather a needle blood flow. So the Gemara asks, "My, what is the proper analysis?" Omar Rav Chisda Toshma. So we have an attempt on Rav Chisda's part to bring proof from our Mishnah. The Mishnah described intimacy under three: Pochos Mikan, Kenoisin Etzba Ba'ayin. Lomali Lemisni Kenoisin Etzba Ba'ayin. Why did the Mishnah choose that analogy? Listen, it should have simply said Pochos Mikan Velo Klum, that intimacy with a girl under three is simply nothing. What is gained by adding this imagery? My love, ha komashmalon. Rather, the following is what the Mishnah is trying to teach us. Ma'ayin midamas v'choseresu midamas. Just like the eye with one's finger in it, there's tearing, and then there's re-tearing. Af besulim. So too, the virginity is the same thing. Mezal, asli, it goes away v'asu and comes back. There's like we suggested in approach Aleph above. There's a recurrence, a recurring factor. And the analogy of the Mishnah of the tearing of the eye would help to support the first method of analysis. Tonu Rabbonan. We have a Tanaic source. And the topic of this Gemara we have under our Nosei heading is Be'ezeh Gil Shayach Hirayon B'Ktana. At what age is pregnancy something that could take place with a young girl? Tonu Rabbanan, Maise biyustini bita shel asuyarus ben antuninus. An incident that took place with a girl named Yustini, the granddaughter of the Emperor Anthony. Sheboslifne Rebbe. She came to Rebbe, Omra Lo, and she said to him, Rebbe, Isha Bekamo Nises, a girl, at what age would she be considered Nises, enter marriage? It could very well be that the reference here is to a marriage that's accomplished through Bia. Hence, his answer is, Amar Lo, Bas Gimel Shanim V'Yom Echad. At 3 years and a day of age, we say that Nisuin through Bia is accomplished. There could be more explanation on this topic where Nisuin, in effect, is in other contexts, is the culmination of Kiddushin. Kiddushin is a method of acquiring a wife, which can be done through one of three methods: Kesef, Shtar, and Bia. But the Nisuin is something that is the second stage, we'll say, of a marriage, which is accomplished through the act of Bia. So it could very well be that the question here is, at what point is the Bia considered of significance and of meaning? So Rebbe answers, that is at 3 years and a day. V'kamo misaveres, u'v'kamo misaveres, at what age does pregnancy set in? Omar lo, bas yudbe shonav yom echad. Only at 12 years and a day of age is a woman considered able to become successfully pregnant. Omra loy ani nisesi b'sheish v'yoladati b'sheva. So she says, I got married at age 6 and I bore a child at age 7. Oy l'sholosh shonim shovadati b'veis abo. Woe unto me, the 3 years that I lost in my father's house. This could be a reference to her saying that she was Nises at Sheish, when Rebbe said she could have been Nises at Sholosh. So the Gemara asks, regarding the issue of the pregnancy, Umi Ma'abra, does a girl of 7 become pregnant and contain and conduct a successful pregnancy? And we have a question that takes in this upcoming Tanaic source. You can see we have a long question marking to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, where The Gemara asks, "V'haltani Rav Bevai kamei de Rav Nachman." Rav Bevai taught the following source in the presence of Rav Nachman: Shalosh Noshim Mishamshiris B'Mofa, three women that are allowed to use a contraceptive. Moch is in effect a piece of absorbent material that a woman inserts into that part of her anatomy in which intimacy takes place, and the moch would absorb the zera, the sperm of the man, the semen of the man, hence preventing her from pregnancy. And what are these? Who are the three women? Ktana, a minor; Mu'uberes, a woman who's already pregnant; Umenika, and a woman who is nursing. And here the source explains each one of these categories, bearing in mind that we're bringing the source in for one specific point, which we will highlight later. But in the meantime, the Ketana, she uses the Moich, Shema Tisav Evetomus. We're afraid that she could enter pregnancy, but the pregnancy at that young age would kill her. So in order to prevent that, she uses this contraceptive, this absorbent material. Mu'uberes, Shema Tase Ubro Sado. If a woman is already pregnant, we're fearful that a second pregnancy could set in, and then that the second pregnancy would crush the pregnancy that she is experiencing now. So as to prevent a second pregnancy from setting in, a woman who's already pregnant uses the Moich. Menika, a nursing woman, we're afraid that if she is nursing her infant, and she were to become pregnant during pregnancy, most often the milk, the lactation ceases, and the child that's already been born and is dependent on that milk will not have a food supply and die. So Shema Tigmol Esbina V'yamus, were afraid she might wean away the child, meaning the milk supply will stop and the child will die. V'ezohi Ktana, what is considered a ketana that we are afraid above? We mentioned afraid of her entering pregnancy and dying. It's mibas yudalef shana v'mechad v'ad yudbei shana v'yamechad. It's a 1 year period of time from when she celebrates her 11th birthday till her 12th birthday. Pachas mikan, under 11 years of age, and here we've dashed underline this. This is the main point for our discussion. Pachos mikano yeser alkein, or above this age span that we mentioned, mishameshes v'holeches divrei Rebbe Meir. She conducts intimacy without any contraceptive means. And for our purposes, we want to emphasize under 11 years of age, she certainly will not become pregnant. And therefore, we have a question raised from this source on the story related in the previous source with Anthony's granddaughter, where she claims that she bore a child at age 7. Here we see that under 11 years of age, she doesn't even become pregnant. V'chachomim omrim achazu v'achazu, whether it be this age or that age, mishameshes kedarka v'hoileches, she is entitled to to conduct intimacy without any contraceptive means. Umin hashamayim yirachamu, and heaven will have mercy. Shenemar shomer psoyim Hashem, the Almighty watches over those people that are psoyim. Psoyim literally are fools, but in this case, those people that are unwitting in their conduct. The question then is raised. We see that under 11 years of age, it's understood that the girl does not become pregnant. What about the story related above? So one answer, Iboy Esemo Asher Besar Chamorim Besorom, that there is a difference between the Gentile versus the Jewish metabolism, and the Gentile metabolism is such that the pasuk here that mentions Asher Besar Chamorim Besorom will shed light on the ability of the non-Jewish woman to bear children at an earlier age. Another possibility is what's reflected in this pasuk is that she was lying, and that she never had a successful pregnancy at age 7 in the first place. Tonu Rabbanan. We have another Tanaic source featuring a story. Maisabi Shoacha Shebosef Ne Rabbi Akiva, a woman that came to Rabbi Akiva, Amraloi, she told Rabbi Akiva, Rebbe Nivalti, Besuch Shalosh Shanim Mani LeKahuna. And she says, I had intimacy under 3 years of age, when I was less than three. What does that do? Well, how does that affect my status with regard to being allowed to marry into the Kahuna? It should be pointed out, and we should have maybe made this point earlier, that the Kahuna has a, we'll call it a higher standard or more restrictive standard as who can marry a Kohen, what kind of woman can marry a Kohen, than the general population. So, in the event that a woman had illicit relations, that type of woman would become forbidden to the Kahuna. So, she tells us that she was Nivala, she experienced intimacy under 3 years of age, and from the context it would appear that it was a forbidden type of intimacy. And does that affect her status with regard to the Kuna? Omarlok, Shera at the Kuna. So Rabbi Akiva said, you are kosher to the Kahuna. Relations under 3 years of age being considered a non-relation, and therefore it doesn't affect her status. Omra lo, so she said to Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi, I want to tell you about myself through an analogy. Emshel chomoshel, I want to give you an example. L'mado v'doyme, what am I like? What is my behavior like? L'tinok shetamnu lo etzboi bedvash, like a child whose finger was dipped into honey. Pam rishon u'shnia goer bom, the first and second time, so the child gets upset. Shlishis motzisa, the third time this happens, the child actually tastes the honey and enjoys it. So that there's an initial discomfort, and then finally enjoyment. So what is the girl, what is this woman saying to Rabbi Akiva? She's basically describing her behavior as having not just a one-time act of intimacy, one when she was very young, but multiple acts of intimacy. Omar lo, imkein pasal psula at the kahuna. So he says, well then you're unfit to the kahuna. Ro tamidim mistaklin zebalze. Rabbi Akiva noticed that the students were gazing one upon the other in wonderment. Omar lahem, lama hadavar koshe beinechem. What's bothering you? Omru lei, so the student said to Rabbi Akiva, kashem shekol haTorah halacha l'Moshe miSinai, just like the rest of the Torah and its interpretations are based on an oral tradition. Kach p'chusa mivas shalosh shanim k'sheru l'kuna l'cha Moshe miSinai. So too, intimacy with a girl under 3 years of age is considered a non-act, it's considered of no consequence, and hence she is k'shera to the kuna. And that's halacha l'Moshe miSinai. So that, what are you telling the girl? She simply said that she had multiple acts of intimacy under 3 years of age. So what difference does it make? Why all of a sudden did you say that she is forbidden to the kuna, when acts of intimacy under 3 years of age are of no consequence? Rabbi Akiva lo omra elohade bo esatamidim. Rabbi Akiva said something that was technically inaccurate, but simply wanted to see if they were on their toes, or as the source says, he wanted to sharpen the students. So that the final point here is that acts of intimacy under 3 years of age, under all circumstances, are of no consequence. The Mishnah. Here, the Mishnah focuses on a boy, Ben Teisha Shanim V'Yom Echad Shebo Al Yevimto, a boy. Who is 9 years and a day, that he is a surviving brother of a man that died, leaving a widow. The surviving brother is expected to do yibum. Yibum is an act of marriage to the widow, and the yibum type marriage is accomplished through intimacy, in the hope, of course, of producing a child that will carry the name of the deceased brother. So the 9-year-old and a day is the surviving brother. His act of yibum is a sufficient act of acquiring her, of a marriage. It's, as the Mishnah says, v'ein noisin get ad sheyagdil. In the event that he wants to divorce her, so he cannot give a divorce document. until he becomes of age, meaning until he passes his 13th birthday. Umetame benido letame mishkav tachta and kelyon. If he has relations with a woman that's a nida, he is called a boyel nida. His act of intimacy is consequential, and enough so that his act is called, he is labeled then as a boyel nida, and that beds and chairs that he sits on are capable of metama food and drink, which is incorporated or included in the word ke'elyon. Ke'elyon is a short, is a brief term meaning ke'elyon shelzav, like blankets or sheets that are placed on top of a zav, which have that same characteristic of being able to metama food and drink. Upoisel v'eino machil betruma. If, let us say, you have a ben teshishonim v'yom echad, who is a kusi or a mamzer, these are people that are not to marry into the fold, into the Jewish community, and he has relations with a kohenes, a woman who is entitled to eat truma. So his relations with her, because he's 9 years of age and he's a forbidden type individual, that will ruin her, will prevent her from eating truma. Also, v'eino machil, that would be a case of a yavam, who is, let's say, a kohen, he's 9 years old in a day, was a kohen, that has relations with the yavama, and even though he acquires her through the biyah to be considered his wife, nevertheless, it's not sufficient enough, he's not old enough for the biyah to entitle her to eat truma. Even though he is this Yavam, this 9 year old and a day Yavam, is a Kohen. Uposel esavahemo me'al gabi hamizbeach. Let us say a 9 year old and a day practiced bestiality with an animal, and there was, let's say, only one witness, or the owner claimed he saw that. That would render the behema unfit to be brought as a sacrifice. V'niskeles al yodoi. If you have two witnesses that saw a 9 year old conduct intimacy with an animal, that animal is to be stoned. The imbo al achas mikol rasmus b'torah. If a 9 year old would have intimacy with relatives that are forbidden to him, so munsin al yodo, that would mean that type of intimacy would be enough to render them make them guilty of a capital offense, and they would be subjected to the death penalty. Who potter? He, being a minor, is not to be punished with the death penalty. Looking at the opening of the Mishnah, which mentioned a 9-year-old child who was a surviving brother and entered Yibum, so it says in the Mishnah that his Yibum, his intimacy with the widow, Kona, but he gives again only when he becomes of age. So the Gemara now asks, "Ulech shiyagdil beget saki lo?" And when he becomes of age, will it be sufficient just to give her a get, and that will break the marriage, that will break the bond? The Hotanya, we have a Taneg source from which we raise a question. It says here, "Asu bias ben teisha kemaimer begodol." The halacha views the intimacy of a 9-year-old like maimer. Maimer is a situation where there is a surviving brother of a man that is deceased, leaving no children. The surviving brother, instead of conducting intimacy, he gives money to the widow, and money as marriage money, we'll call that. In a Yibum situation, there is no need for marriage money. There's no Kesef Kedushin that's required. Let's say a person did it anyway. So if he gave Kesef Kedushin, which is called, in the context of Yibum, it's called Maimer. Ma Maimer Begodol, Sorach Get L'Mamoro, V'Chalitza L'Zikoso. If a person who's a Godol, he happened to give money to the Yavama, and he then doesn't want to go ahead with the actual Yibum. He wants to, He wants to undo what he did, and undo the giving of the money, and set her free to marry anyone she wants. And that would, and the source tells us that he is expected to give a divorce document for undoing the maimer, undoing the money that he presented her, and he has to give chalitza. Chalitza is the shoe removal ceremony where the widow removes the shoe from the surviving brother to undo the zika bond. This is the bond formed at the point that the husband had died, leaving her a widow. The bond between the surviving brother and the sister-in-law. So the chalitza is done to undo that bond, which is called the zika. So that is what we know with regard to a godel who does maimer. Af bias ben teisha tzorch get l'ma'amoroi v'chalitza l'zikoso. So too, the way we view the bia, the intimacy of the 9-year-old, is in the same vein. Namely, that the intimacy doesn't create a full marital bond, but rather the zika relationship remains. And to undo a zika level relationship, chalitza is necessary. So why is it mentioned in the Mishnah that when we have a ben teisha shonim that does that is miyabim, that does an act of intimacy with the sister-in-law, that all that's necessary will be the get when he becomes of age? We're saying now that in addition to the get, he would also have to do chalitza, because the bia that he did wasn't a full-fledged marriage, which would ordinarily be undone through the giving of a get, but rather the bia of the ben teisha is viewed as maimer, and for that a get is sufficient. However, the zika bond remains, and that has to be undone through chalitza. Omar Rav. So Rav explains, Hochi Komar. The Mishnah is to be understood thusly. And we continue now on Omid Beis at the top. The Mishnah means to say, L'chishi yagdil yiv'oyul v'yitein get. The Yibum story that started off with a 9-year-old and his intimacy really continues. And the Mishnah is saying that when he becomes of age, he would be expected to do a bia again. And that bia concretizes the marriage and makes it a full-fledged marriage, and at that point the yitain get, if he wants to divorce her, he would then give a get, and the get would be sufficient, because the bia done after he became of age is considered that creates a full marital relationship without any of the zika stage remaining, but rather she's a full-fledged wife, and that is undone through the giving of a get. We continue now with the Mishnah here at the top of Omid Beis, and before we read the Mishnah, we have a topic heading that reads as follows. Gimel Bavois B'Mishnah, there are three sections in the Mishnah. B'inyin Gil Noder Neder. B'inyin Gil Shel Noder Neder, regarding the age of someone who vows. Mosai Nivdak U'Mosai Lo. When would we have to check out the person taking the vow, whether he understands that to whom he is making the vow? In other words, that a vow is something that one makes to the Almighty. When do we have to check him or her out, and when no? L'kamen ha'gemara tazbir l'mat zrichim kol bovos elu. Later, the Gemara will deal with why the Mishnah has spelled out in such detail each one of these phrases that we will shortly learn. So the Mishnah says, Bas achas esrei shana v'yom echad nidoreha nivdokin, a girl who celebrated her 11th birthday. So the vows she takes aren't automatically binding, but we check her out to discover whether she knows unto whom she is vowing, or in the case of someone who sanctifies something, the base of Megiddush, is she aware of to whom she is sanctifying? Bas shteim esrei shana v'yom echad nidoreha kayomen, a girl who celebrated her 12th birthday, her vows stand. In other words, there's no checking out of what she knows and what not, but rather her vows are to stand as they are. Ubeitkin kol shtein esrei. This seems to be redundant, but it says we check out throughout the 12th year. When we speak about her 12th year, that means when a girl celebrates her 11th birthday, she's in effect celebrating her completing 11 years of life on earth. So that the phrase kol shtein esrei means into her 12th year. That's, as we said, that's from age 11, what we call an 11-year-old, till age 12. When we speak about someone reaching age 12, it means they've completed 12 years of life. So that this third section of the Mishnah, boikin kol shtein esrei, which would indicate we check out, does she know, does she understand to whom she is vowing during that 12th year, that any vow she takes during her 12th year. Ben, we now look at a male. Ben shtem esrei shana v'yom echod nidorov nivdokin. During after he celebrates his 12th birthday, bearing in mind he's not a bar mitzvah, but he celebrated his 12th birthday, so that a boy who celebrates his 12th birthday and he vows, so we check out to see whether he understands what a vow is. Ben Yud Gimel Shana V'Yom Echod Nidorov Kayomen. This whole section parallels what we saw by the girl, just with the boy, everything is advanced 1 year. So with regard to a boy, if he has completed 13 years, he's Yud Gimel Shana V'Yom Echod, he's completed 13 years of age on this earth, Nidorov Kayomen, so his vows stand. They without any checking. Uboikin kol shlosh esrei, and during his 13th year, he hasn't completed 13 years, but he's into his 13th year of life. So we check out. Koydim lizman hazeh, afal pi sha'omru yoydim onu l'shem min adarnu l'shem min hikdashnu. Before these times, in other words, we have one age for the girl and one age for the boy. But when they are younger than the times we mentioned in the Mishnah, even if they show awareness of what a vow is, ein nidreim neder, the ein hekdeshim hekdesh, their vows are of no meaning and their sanctifications are of no meaning. The achar hazman hazeh, after these ages, afapi sha'omru ein onu yodim l'shem mi nodarnu l'shem mi hekdashnu, even in the event that the young person says, I don't know to whom the vow is made, I don't know unto whom we sanctify things, nidron neder vegdeshon hegdish, their vow nevertheless is binding, and whatever they sanctified is binding. As many of you probably sense, there seems to be in this Mishnah quite a bit of redundancy. So the Gemara asks, v'kevon detona bas achas esrei shana v'yomecho didora nevdokin. Once you tell me that a girl who's 11 years old and she vows, her vows are checked out, are investigated whether she knows to whom she is vowing, so it stands to reason bas yudbeis shana v'yomecho nidoreo kayomen. Therefore, lomali, why do I need to teach that when she celebrates her 12th birthday, that her nidorim stand? It would seem to be something I could figure out if you're telling me that when she's 11 years old, so we check out her vows, and it would seem that when she's 12 years old, so it's not necessary, her vows would stand on their own. So why does the Mishnah spell that out? The Gemara answers, Sahdech mina boitin loylam. Without this, I would have thought that this idea of checking out is something we do all the time, you know, as till the end of her life. Komash Malon, that's why we have section Beis in the Mishnah that indicates that no, we don't say Boitkim Leolam. And rather, the Boitkim is limited to that 1 year, the 1 year preceding adulthood. The Kevon Detoni Basyud Beishona V'yomecho Nidora Kayomen. Once you tell me that particular phrase, that a girl who celebrated her 12th birthday, so her vows are binding, boitkin kol shtein esrei lamali, why does the Mishnah teach that during her 12th year of life, we check out her Nidorim? Salko Daito Chamina, had I not had the Gimel expression of Boykin Kol Shtei Masrei, I would have thought Hoyol V'Omamar Yoyim Shloishim B'Shona Chashuvim Shona. This is a concept we learned in a previous year, that even part of a year is considered a year. There is a shita that says 30 days of a year is considered a year. In other words, if you are at the beginning of a year, the first 30 days would be considered as if it's a whole year. So I would think Hecho debadakno shloishim v'liodela haflois, in a case where a girl had been checked out, badakna, we checked her out during the first 30 days of that particular year, and she didn't know during those first 30 days unto whom she is vowing, Amos su lo livdo. So I would have concluded, well, 30 days is like the whole year, so the whole year is down the drain, so to speak, that she's not going to, she's considered as being ignorant for the whole year, and therefore any vow she takes afterwards during that 12th year would have no significance. Komash Malon, so by teaching phrase Gimel in the Mishnah, which was Boitkin Kol Shtemesrei, we will check the girl out throughout the 12th year, because she might become aware beyond, you know, after the first 30 days of the year, she might in fact become aware of to whom vows are taken, and therefore we can't let it go by without our checking, and not rely on the status that she exhibited during the first 30 days of unawareness. The Gemara asks, "V'lisni hani tarti bovi?" Why doesn't the Mishnah teach the following two sections, sections Beis and Gimel, namely Basu Beishon of Yomecho Nedora Kayomin, that vows taken when she's 12 years old, when she celebrated her 12th year, her 12th birthday, her vow stand, Uboikin Kol Shneimasar, and also teach that we check out throughout the 12th year of her life, does she know unto whom she vowed? Bas achas esrei v'yom echod nidorah nivdokin lomali. This Aleph phrase would seem to be redundant. It was already included in that which we said that boitkin kol shneimasar. Itzterich. I need to teach phrase Aleph as well. Sakadaitoch amino stamo b'shteim esrei bayobadika b'achas esrei lo bayobadika. That in general, during her 12th year, in other words, a girl who celebrated her 11th birthday, so her vows need to be checked out. The Achasasrei, that's during her 11th year, before that she's from what we call from between 10 and 11, lo bayabdika, that ordinarily, this in the Stam case, the when I don't know anything else, so we don't look into it. The Hecho de Chazinon lo de Harifot Fei, however, where we would see a very precocious girl, Mivdika b'achas esrei, we would check her out even during her 11th year. In other words, between ages 10 and 11. Komash Malon, so that's what this additional phrase of the Aleph phrase of the Mishnah tells us. Not so. That, namely, only after she celebrated her 11th birthday do we check anything out. Before that, even if she seems to be very sharp and aware, it's not going to take any effect. Koidem hazman hazeh ve'achar hazman hazeh loma li. Why does the Mishnah add that those expressions, where the Mishnah had said, after giving us all the age breakdown, it said, "Kodim l'zman hazeh afal pi shomri yodim onu l'shemi nadarnu etc. ein idrem neder," that before these ages, even if they show awareness, the vows are not vows, and after that, even if they say they're not aware, it still is a vow. So what do I need all of that information for? I could have figured that out from the beginning of the Mishnah. So the Gemara answers, Sahu dechamina, hani min lehecha delo koamri, inhu. I would have thought that the laws of the Reisha of the Mishnah are where the one taking the vow didn't say anything. Aval hecha de koamri inhu, nismoch alayu. However, where they do speak up, for example, a girl who's celebrate her 10th birthday, and after between 10 and 11 she says she knows to whom she had vowed, she understands the seriousness and the significance and the basis of a vow. So I would rely on her and say that it's binding. Komash Malon, hence we have this additional phrase of the Mishnah which says Kodem Azman Azeh, it's her Nedarim are of no ain nidrei neder, of no consequence. And we're saying no consequence, even if they show a sharpness and awareness of what goes into a vow, or what's behind the vow. Tonu Rabbanan. We have a Tanaic source, but before we begin the Tanaic source, let us read the topic heading that we have in the outside margin. It reads as follows: Machlokas Rebbe, Reb Shimon ben Elazar. We'll see a Tanaic controversy. Tinok ho tinokes mi memaher lehishakem. Boy or girl who hastens to wisdom. In other words, the Mishnah reflects different ages for girls and boys. The girl, we could say, becoming aware earlier, because everything with the girl was slid up to be one year earlier than the boy. So we see that the girl's awareness sets in earlier than that of a boy's. We will see that this very point is a machlokas tanoim. So the source begins Tanu Rabbanan. Elu Divrei Rebbe. In other words, the ages that were featured in the Mishnah is in accordance with Rebbe. Reb Shimon Elazar Omer, Devarim Hoamurim Betinoikis Betinok Amurim. The ages that were stated by the girl really should be stated by the boy. And Devarim Hoamurim Betinok Betinokis Amurim. And the ages stated by the boy really apply to the girl. You'll see that we have a house form that's used to highlight the expression Mai Taimo, and under our Mivneh heading we feature the house and indicate the Mai Taimo, the Rebbe or the Reb Shimon ben Elazar. We're going to be looking for the basis of these two opinions as we go on in the Gemara. So Omar of Chisda, Mai Taimo, the Rebbe. What is the basis of Shitas Rebbe that indicates the girl becomes enters the realm of awareness and wisdom earlier? This pasuk is in the context of the creation of Chava. The word vayiven is associated, according to this approach of Rav Chisda's, with havona, with understanding. The Tosfos Harosh, which is a commentary you see in the margin of the Gemara. So he says, Malamed Shenosan Gosh Baruch Hu Bino Yoser B'Isha Yoser B'Ish Pirush Hikdim Bo Bino Yoser M'B'Ish.
According to the Tosfos Harosh, it would not be a function of, let's say, quantity of understanding or even quality of understanding, but rather age of understanding. So that the Bino Yosera, the extra Bina, means an extra year, so to speak, is added to the woman, making her eligible for understanding a year earlier than that of a boy. The Gemara continues, V'idach. This is a reference to Reb Shimon Elazar. Hahu, what, it's the pasuk that Rebbe cited of Va'iven Hashem Lekim Asat Seva. So Reb Shimon Elazar says, Hahu, that pasuk miboy alei lichad Reish Lakish. I need it for the teaching that was made popular by Reish Lakish, Dama Reish Lakish, Mishum Rebbe Shimon ben Manasya. Reish Lakish, in quoting Reb Shimon Asya, teaches Va'iven Hashem Lekim Asat Seva, Shalokach Min Adam Li'isha, Va'yavieha El Ha'adam. Malamed, this pasuk teaches us Shekola Kodesh Baruch Hu Lechava, that the Kodesh Baruch Hu braided her hair. Kola is lashon of making a braid. The Hevia Eitzel Adam Harishon, and brought her that way to Adam Harishon with braided hair. She came to Kroche Hayom in places overseas, Kurin Lekalisa Biniyasa. They refer to what we call Kliya braiding. They use the word Biniyasa. So you see the word Vayiven is it's a word in the Torah whose understanding was preserved by other peoples, and as they use the term Biniyasa for what we use, what we call Kliya, braiding. The Gemara continues, Rav Shimon ben Elazar, my time off. Rabbi Shimon Lozer, who made the boy maturation earlier than the girl, what's his basis? Amar of Shmuel bar Rav Yitzhak, mitoch shatinok motzui beveis raboi, since the little boy is found in his master's house, and he's learning Torah all the time, which is something that was in the time of the Gemara, which is characteristic of boys' education more so than the girls' education. So he's learning Torah beveis rabo, nichneses boi armunes tchila. So sharpness enters him earlier. It would almost appear that Rebbe's approach is something that's a born phenomenon. And according to Reb Shimon Lozer, it's something that's a cultivated phenomenon. Continuing in the Gemara, we have a new topic heading, Ech Donin Toich Zman. How are we to evaluate that interim age? In effect, the year before the boy or girl becomes Gedoylim. So, Ibayalo Toch Zman, Kilifnei Zman, or Kilachar Zman. Is it viewed as part of the earlier time period, the youth time period, or is it associated with the la'acharzman, after godless, after the boy or girl celebrates their entrance into adulthood? L'mai hilchasa, the Gemara asks on the question regarding what topic is the Gemara asking about toich zman, and giving us only one of two options, either it's like Lifnezman or Leacharzman. So the Gemara asks, with regard to what is this question being raised? E Linadorim, if it's for the realm of Nidorim, well, then we know that Tochzman is Lav Kilifnezman Damya Velav Kilacharzman Damya. It's not like either one. It's not like Lifnezman, where the Mishnah rules that Lifnezman, the Nidorim, are of no consequence, and La'acharzman is where the Nidorim, even if the vowing individual is unaware of the background or to whom he is vowing, they will be binding anyway. But so the Tochzman is where we say we check them out, is not like either Lifnei or La'acharzman. So that is obviously not the question of the Gemara. The Gemara is not asking regarding Nidorim. Elo le'oinshim. Rather, what the Gemara is interested in is knowing how do we view Toch Zman with regard to giving a punishment to a child who reached Toch Zman and violates committing a sin. So Rashi adds to this, we have to make the assumption that the individual being questioned, the Toch Zman young person, has produced the two pubic hairs that are ordinarily speaking associated with the sign of reaching maturity or adulthood. So the question then is raised, Legabi Oinshin, how do we view that age? For a girl, it would be, according to Rebbe, between 11 and 12, and with a boy, between 12 and 13. Rav Rebbe Chanina, Gamri Chavayu, they both say, Toich Zman, Kilifnei Zman, that they are viewed as minors, and there will be no punishments. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shuben Levi, Damri Chavayo Tochzman, Kila Achar Zman. They say that Tochzman is treated as le'acharzman legabi oinshin.
Mosiv Rav Hamnuna. So Rav Hamnuna raises an objection. Achar zman hazeh. This is a quote from our Mishnah. Oh, actually, before we go on in the Gemara, we skip the phrase. Omar Rav Nachman Yitzchok b'simonech. In order to remember who holds what, just remember the following: v'zois lifnim b'Yisrael. The word v'zois is a word in a female gender form. The word lifnim is like the word lifnei. As far as names are concerned, the name Rabbi Chanina has a the word Chanina, or the name Chanina, has a feminine type association, we'll say, or feminine gender form of a word. That being said, we can associate Shitas Rabbi Chanina regarding the question of Toch Zman as being Lifnei Zman, because you have the word Vizos that's associated with something of a feminine nature, and that's like the name Chanina, and you see the word Lifnim meaning like Lifnei Hazman. So that the knowledge of just recounting that pasuk will help you remember that Rabbi Chanina is of the opinion that Toch Zman is Kila Lifnei Zman. Mosif Rav Hamnuna. Rav Hamnuna raises an objection. Achar zman hazeh, for bishomru ein on the yodin l'shem minadarnu l'shem mihikdashnu. When the person taking the vow is achar hazman, so even if they say that we don't know unto whom our vows are made, nidrehen neder v'hekdeshon hekdesh, their vows nevertheless are binding. Now we can infer from this ha toich zman. But the period of time that's called toch zman, the year before adulthood, kilifnei zman, that would be viewed as lifnei zman. Namely, only achar hazman do we say that everything is binding. But toch zman would be viewed as lifnei zman. Amar le Rava. Rava says to Rav Hamnuna, if you're developing your question, based on an inference from the Mishnah, so Rava says, well, emo resha, state the resha, kodem hazman hazeh, apa pi shomer yodem onu l'shem mi nodan l'shem mi ikdashnu, ein nidrem neder, v'ein hekdeshon hekdesh. The Mishnah makes a reference to the kodem hazman situation and says that whatever they say, even if they say we understand to whom nidarim are made, yet it's of no consequence. Ha toch zman, you can infer that toch zman ke le'achar zman. Now, if you focus on our markings, we squiggle underlined the inference from both the seifa and the resha, the squiggle underlined expression of ha toch zman, that's the inferred time, which is the focus of our analysis right now. But you see that if you medayek from the resha, you come out with one conclusion. If you're medayek from the sefer, you come out with another conclusion. So Rava was attacking Rav Hamnuna's method of reaching conclusions. The Gemara says, as far as Rava's attacking Rav Hamnuna, the lohi, Rava's unfounded. Rava katoi, Rava made a mistake. Hu safar Rav Hamnuna mi mishna yisera kadayik. Rava thought that Rav Hamnuna is reaching his conclusions based on the seeming extra expression in the Mishnah, using the seeming extra expression in the Mishnah to use as a point of inferring the other issue, namely toch zman. And regarding that, Rava says, if you're going to infer from what you did, namely from achar zman, so the adadayik mi seifa leidut mereisha. So instead of making your inference from the seifa, make the diuk from the reisha, coming out with an opposite conclusion. That's what Rava's attempt in asking on Rav Hamnuna was. Veloihi, but here is where he, Rava, made the mistake. Rav Hamnuna migufa demasnisin kodayik. Rav Hamnuna wasn't
inferring the way we just suggested, but rather he was medayik from the basic Mishnah itself. The expression la'achar zman, we have a little arrow to the immediate left hand side of the Gemara text. You can skim up to find where the previous reference was, and that's in the upper part of the page, where we were still learning the Mishnah at that point, where you see the expression of la'achar zman. So Gemara says that Rav Hamuna was focusing on that expression. Hechidomi, the case of la'achar zman, what are the circumstances? Idolo aisi shtei sirus, if they are la'achar zman but did not produce the two pubic hairs, kotanhu, they would still be considered minors. Elolav, the aisi shtei sirus. Rather, the case of la'achar zman mentioned in the Mishnah is someone that is reaches the years of adulthood and also produced the two pubic hairs. And that's why the neder that they make is binding, even if they don't know to whom vows are made. We continue at the top of Mem Vov. The Taimo de Lachar Zman Hu de Gomro Lo Lemilse. And the reason that the vows are going to stand under all circumstances is because, in addition to having achieved the age of adulthood, Gomro Lo Lemilse is complete. He's completed his matter by having the two pubic hairs as well. Ha toich zman, and from that we infer, but if they did not complete everything required for adulthood, namely, they didn't complete the years as well, so there were, even though there may be two pubic hairs, we're forced to say kilifnei zman. That's what Rav Hamnuna, what his point was, that toich zman is kilifnei zman, and that would then present a problem for the opinions of Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shulman Levi, who wanted to say that toch zman is kila achar zman. The Oid Mosiv Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera brings a Tanaic source which reads as follows: Ish ki afli lindor neder, ma tamud lomar ish. Why does the pasuk use the word ish, or add the word ish? The rabbis ben yudgimel shana v'yom echad, to include the case of a 13-year-old boy, Shafapi She'enu Yodela Hafli Lindarov Kayomen, even if he doesn't know unto whom sanctification and vows are made, they are nevertheless binding. Hey Chidomi, what are the circumstances of this particular source? Idolo Aisi Shtei Cyrus Kotenhu, if he's 13 years of age, he celebrates 13 years, but he's his 13th birthday, but he hasn't produced the two pubic hairs, he's still considered halachically a kotan, a minor. Elolav, rather, the Aisi Shtei Cyrus. He not only has celebrated 13 complete years, but he's also produced the two pubic hairs. The time of the Ben Yugimel, the Yom Echad, who dehave le ish. And because he has the years as well as the hairs, he can be called ish, ish meaning an adult. Ha toich zman kilifnei zman. If it's before the 13 complete years, he is considered like a non-ish. He's like lifnei zman. Tiufta. So this would appear to be then a repudiation of the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, who wanted to say that toich zman is kila'achar zman. Here we can infer that it's not so. Omar Rav Nachman Ketanoi. Rav Nachman wants to make a point that the issue of toich zman is in fact a machloikes tanoim. So we have, with our markings, we have a nun that's encircled to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text, and you can see a descending vertical dashed line. This is a nekuda, nun standing for nekuda, a point. Rav Nachman wants to make a point. However, after this long point marking, the Gemara will go on to reject it, and you'll see diamonds that appear, which in effect will be four alternatives to what Rav Nachman is trying to claim right now. So, let's see Rav Nachman's point. Ketanoi, the issue of toch zman, he wants to say, is a machlokes tanoim. The source reads, Ben teisha shonim shevishtei saras shuma. A 9-year-old boy that has produced two hairs in that part of the anatomy that we are addressing, the pubic area.
Shuma, shuma means, literally, is a wart. Like many warts have hairs growing out of them, but for our purposes, shuma is means something that has no halachic significance. Miben teisha viad yud beis shona, v'yoyim echad, from 9 years till he celebrates his 12th birthday, shuma, hairs that appear, have no significance. Rabbi Yossi Buda Omer, Simon. Rabbi Yossi Buda says, no, that those hairs have significance as a sign of adulthood. In other words, if hairs grow from on a child during those that period and remain on him till after adulthood, those hairs are of significance. Then the source concludes by saying, Ben Yud Gimel Shon of Yom Echad, Divrei HaKoyl, Simon. Hairs that have the Shtei Cyrus on a boy that celebrated his 13th birthday, everyone agrees those hairs have significance as a simon, as a sign of adulthood. Ha gufa kasha. When looking at the source, there appears to be an inherent contradiction. Amris, you said at the beginning, mi ben teisha v'ad yud beis shana v'yom echad shuma, that from 9 till 12, after till his 12th birthday, the hairs of our shuma, meaning no significance. We can infer ha yud gimel shana gufa, that is the 13th year, from 12 to 13. Simen, hairs that would appear at that time, would not be considered of no significance, but they will have a sign, a power to them. So that we've squiggle underlined the inference, namely the hairs that appear during his 13th year. For Hadar Tani, then at the end of the source, it says, Ben Yud Gimel Shana V'yom Echad Simen. The pubic hairs that appear after his 13th birthday, they are the sign. Inference, Ha Yud Gimel Shana Gufa, but during his 13th year, where he hasn't completed his 13 years, he hasn't celebrated his 13th birthday yet, he's after 12, before 13, Shuma. So it would be considered of no significance. So you'll notice that you have two opinions here regarding Toch Zman. It's that year before adulthood. My Lav Tanoihi. So these two sections of the source represent two different Tanaic opinions. The more so our Toch Zman Kilachar Zman, the first inference where we said Hod Yud Gimel Shana Gufa Simen holds that Toch Zman is like Achar Zman. Umor Savar, the latter part of the Mishnah, from which we inferred that Yud Gimel Shana Gufa, it's only Shuma, it's like wart hairs, he holds Toch Zman Kilifnei Zman, that period called Toch Zman is viewed as under age. At this point then, we have what Rav Nachman wanted to say, a machlokas tanoim, concerning how we look at toich zman. The Gemara rejects this conclusion and says, loy, de kule almo toich zman kilifnei zman. Everyone will agree that toich zman is considered like underage. V'idi, betinokes. Both phrases from this source that we drew inferences from, so that both we can say, for the sake of brevity and clarity, both squiggle underlines are talking about a tinoikis, a girl. The ratio that said during the 13th year it's a simon, that's Rebbe. The seifa that said that during the 13th year is Reb Shimon ben Elazar. Let us glance at the Rashi. V'resha the Mashvis Yud Gimel Simen, Rebihi, Domar Batinoikis, Havya, Yud Gimel, the Achar Zman. According to Rebbe, the age of Yud Gimel is Achar Zman, and that's why we were able to infer in the Resha that it's a Simen, because the Resha is in accordance with Rebbe. The Seifa is in accordance with Reb Shimon ben Elazar, who says that Yud Gimel, with regard to a tinoikis, is not adulthood. but rather it's toch zman. And toch zman, everyone agrees, is like lifnei zman. And that's why in the Sefa we saw it viewed as shuma. V'boy seima, another approach, is ha v'ha betinoik. Both the Resha and Sefa are talking about a boy. The Resha, Reb Shimon ben Elazar, and the Resha, which viewed the Yud Gimel Shana Gufa as Simon, is because that is according to, the Resha is according to Reb Shimon ben Elazar, who says that the 13th year is of significance. The Sefa, Rebbe, the Sefa, which showed us that Toch Zman, during the 13th year, it's of no significance, that's Rebbe, who views the Tinok, the boy, as maturing later than the girl. The boy Sema, another approach to this, to the two squiggle underlines, Ha V'ha, Rebbe, both are in accordance with Rebbe. Ha B'Tinok, Ha B'Tinokis, where you see the 13th year being considered of the, like in the end, the Seifa, where it's considered as Shuma, that's because it's dealing with a boy. The Resha, which from which we concluded that Toch, that Yud Gimel Shana Gufa is a Simen, that's because we're talking about a girl. V'boy Seima, a fourth approach, a fourth alternative approach, is Ha V'ha, Rav Shimon ben Elazar. Both the Resha and Sefa, both squiggle underlines, are under, with the, under the opinion of Rav Shimon ben Elazar. Ha B'tinok, Ha B'tinokes. The same type of answer, just that where you see the Toch Yud Gimel Shana Gufa being considered a Simen, that's because you're dealing there with a Tinok. And the squiggle underline, the diuk from the Sefer, which indicates it's a Shuma, that's because you're dealing with a Tinoikis. With that, we conclude our Shi'ur for today.